Fill me up, God. Come on, do you want God? Say, fill me up, Father God. Hallelujah. Fill me up, God. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Fill me up, God. Hallelujah. God just doesn't want, hallelujah, that you've not just received one, hallelujah, experience with the Holy Spirit, but God wants to continue filling, hallelujah, and filling, hallelujah, that all flesh, hallelujah, all flesh. God says that I want to pour out my Spirit upon all flesh. Can you say all flesh? Come on, all flesh, hallelujah. Every weak part of me, every place in me, hallelujah, that's weak, that's subpar, hallelujah, that's not in His image, hallelujah, that He wants to pour out His Spirit upon all flesh, hallelujah, all flesh, hallelujah. Father God, we pray that tonight, God. Lord, pour out Your Spirit upon all flesh, God. Hallelujah. Father God, Lord, that You said to God, Lord, You're healing. That God, Lord, that You're saving us, body, soul, and spirit, God. Hallelujah, Father God. Lord, You're restoring us. You're setting us free, God. You're loosening, God. You want to get into every area, every crevice, that anointing, hallelujah. That anointing that breaks the yokes. That anointing, hallelujah, that causes us, hallelujah, to press through. It's the breaker anointing that's within us, hallelujah. How could we live? How could we not walk, hallelujah, with a filling, not filling with this Spirit, having a being overflowing with Your Spirit. Father God, I pray to God, let us continue to walk that place to God. Lord, that we're facing Your Spirit, God, that we're hungry for You, God. Lord, that whatever tries to deter us, God, that we say, no, I got to be filled. I got to be flowing in the Spirit. Hallelujah. I need God to touch every area. Hallelujah. Father God, I pray this tonight, God. Let us overflow. Let us overflow. Let us get, hallelujah, beyond. Hallelujah. Let Your Spirit flow out of every area, every part of our bodies. Oh, thank You, God. We give You praise in Jesus' name. Amen. Hallelujah. Amen. Hallelujah. God is good. Come on, say God is good. God is good. Listen, sometimes you just got to shout it. Come on, amen. Can you shout it tonight? God is good. You love Jesus. I love Jesus. Hallelujah. Amen. Hallelujah. Now tonight, I just want to share some things. Just a short message. Don't laugh. I intentionally want to be short in a sense, but I want to just give this because this is a simple concept. And let me just give this real quick. I began to think about, hallelujah, last week we talked about the ark, how that He is the ark and we're in Him. Come on, amen. When they were in the ark, they were in that place of protection. Tell your neighbor, don't get out of the ark. But here's what happened. Remember, the Spirit is all the water speaks of the Spirit. And it covered the earth. All flesh. And I want you to get this. And as it rose up, hallelujah, as it covered everything. Everything. It got deeper and deeper and deeper and deeper. And they were led. They were able to, they couldn't even, they were just, it was led. But here's what happened. I want you to think about this for a second. That as they were able to look out of that one window, what they looked out, and say it was midnight, it was darkest night. And all they could see is the water. And when they looked into the water, there was a reflection of heaven in all the water. Come on, I want you to know it is a reflection of Him in the Spirit. Say in the Spirit. That we know who we are. Outside of His image and likeness, we miss the mark. The Bible says we all fall short of the glory of God. We've all sinned. Say, I've sinned. That means you've missed the mark. What's the mark? He's the image. Sometimes what churches do, what we've done, is we've dealt with the sin, but that's secondary. The problem is the image. Because when you know who you are, Come on. When you know who you are. Come on, amen. When you know your Father and you know the image, His image, hallelujah, that we shoot for that. We aim for that. We reach for the, His image and likeness in our lives. And we're to pull down, say pull down, any images that don't look like Him. Images that exalt themselves above the name of God. Exaggerations. Images. Imaginations. Imagery that's not of Him. I need His image in my life. Amen? So, you could kill that, but let's look at 1 Peter 13. And it says, wherefore, gird up your loins of your mind and be sober and hope to the end, for the grace that is brought unto you at the revelation of Jesus Christ. Now we all know that that word revelations means apocalypse. And that word apocalypse means to take the lid off. To uncover. See, God wants us to have a revelation of Him. As the more we pursue after God, the more, hallelujah, there's an apocalypse, there's an uncovering of Him in my life. So listen, so it says, obedient and as obedient children, not fashioning yourselves according to the former lust, fashioning, causing yourself to resemble that old image and that old likeness. Come on, what I have begun to perceive in my mind from the images that are in the world. Come on, amen. From the moment you're born, there's this image that's put upon your life. Come on, there's so many things what people think about you. There's a false image and a false likeness that the world tries to put upon your life. But thanks be to God. Come on, say thanks be to God. See, I want you to hear this. It says, and be sober and children, fashioning yourselves according to the former lust, not according to the former lust, in your ignorance. Tell your neighbor, you ain't ignorant. But as He which hath called you is holy. Now listen. Say, He's holy. And you're supposed to be in His image, in His likeness. So someone tell me, what does that make you? It's always real quiet when I say that. People are like, whoa. Listen, do you know what causes you not to say that? The wrong image. Do you know what? You are the saints of God. You are holy. You're righteous. The problem is whenever I begin to get that, oh no, it's the wrong image. Listen. And you got to get this. I don't get holy through what I can do. I'm holy through what He's done. Listen. You all right? Come on. Come on. Flow with me tonight. And He says, so be holy in all manner of conversation. We could just preach this all night long, brother. Be holy. Tell your neighbor, be holy. Tell someone else, be holy. All of a sudden, holy, 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 the Lord God Almighty, hallelujah, who was, who is to come. But listen, Isaiah, when he came there, the first thing he said is, woe, woe, woe. God's changing my conversation, so I go from woe, 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 to holy, holy, holy. Come on, amen. He's saying that whole manner of conversation. Wow. So be holy in all manners of conversations. I said this before. Jesus wasn't received in His own town. They didn't receive Him. He got just a few blessings. Can I tell you guys sometimes? Sometimes, each one of us, we can be our greatest prophet or our worst prophet. In my own town, sometimes I don't receive the words that come out of my mouth about who I am. It says, the Bible says, because it is written. Wow. It is written. Be holy, for I'm holy. I want to just give you understand something, that what has made you holy. I want to talk about, this is important sometimes, because sometimes, I said it last week, that listen, we sing the song, and it's cool, we sing the song, it's fine. My worship doesn't have to be perfectly correct, because it comes from your heart. It doesn't have to be theologically correct, but it comes out of your heart. And we've sang songs, we sang the song, If I Never Know the Cost. Remember that song? I never knew the cost. I'm here to tell you that I need to know the cost. Here's why. Because if I don't know what was paid, I'll never know my worth. Come on. I'll never know how valuable I am. That's why so many people, they don't have an identity. They don't know who they are. I want you to know this. Listen to me. We can never find our true identity outside the Spirit of God. When we are born again, hallelujah, that when we're born again, when we receive, where our spirit is quickened, it comes alive. Say it comes alive. It is with Christ that when 2,000 years ago, when he went to the cross and he died and he rose again, listen, it might not, I did that through him, so my spirit went through that. But when I receive him, that I receive him in my life, that spirit that was with him on the cross, amen? Come on, he just didn't die for you, he died as you, hallelujah. Say that spiritually, come on. Spiritually, he died as you, hallelujah. Not just for you, but as you, hallelujah. That's what makes you holy, because he's holy. He went to the cross and died, took everything that you got coming, hallelujah. And he rose from the grave in victory. And so your spirit is quickened, it's alive, say it's alive. Come on, you're alive in Jesus Christ. Hallelujah. That's nothing ever to be taken lightly. And I got to realize that's the value that I am. I'm valuable. So it says, and if you call the Father, who without respect of persons judges according to every man's work, pass the time of your sojourning here in fear. For as much as you know not, you are not redeemed with corruptible things as silver and gold, your vain conversations received by traditions from your fathers, but you are redeemed with the precious blood of Jesus Christ as the Lamb without blemish and without spot. Hallelujah. And who verily was foreordained before the foundation of the world, but was manifest in the last times. Listen, he went to the cross. He had the answer before the foundation of the earth. We got to get this understanding. Listen, before you made that mistake, he already, hallelujah, before the foundation, before God spoke anything into existence, Jesus, spiritually, he already went to the cross. Say he went to the cross. The Bible says from the foundation of the earth. Foundation's the beginning. Say the beginning. So he says, and he says, and who verily was foreordained, he said, manifest in this last time, that he said this, and he was manifested, not in the last times, but in this, that ends of that age. Jesus Christ went to the cross. Yes, he went to the age and he rose again. See, he's done it.
Done.
Tell your neighbor it's finished.
It's finished.
All I got to do, hallelujah, is walk in the Spirit. I got to walk in what he's done for me. I want you to see this picture. Amen. So let's look at Colossians 3 real quick. Okay, give you a couple scriptures here. Colossians 3, 1. If then, be risen, if I'm risen with Christ, seek those things which are above. Say above. Come on, amen. He says, remember I said, where Christ is seated, sitteth on the right hand of the Father. Say heavenly image. Set your affection on things above, not in things in the earth. Come on, amen. But listen, when I receive Christ, I repent, I change my position, Before, I've been facing the things of the earth, hallelujah. And all of a sudden, when I receive Christ in my life, I repent, I change my view, and I begin to set my affections upon things that are in heaven. Not the things of the earth. Jesus told that woman that was bowed to the earth for 18 years with an affliction. 18 years? 18 years. 18 years. 18 years. 12? No, 18. 18. That's a different one. That's a lady with a bleeding issue. Well, we talked about that before. Come on. Come on. Unfortunately, the church has a lot of bleeding issues and we don't need to. He's already bled for me. Stop bleeding. Her affections were to the earth because of sin. Say wrong image. They were earthly. But when she's seen Jesus, He turned her head, hallelujah. She set her affection upon Him, which is heavenly, hallelujah. He's the abode of God. She looked upon Him and all of a sudden she changed her view and she was healed in Jesus' name. He said, go sin no more. Tell your neighbor, He solves the problems. So here it is. This is. So set your affections on things above, not things on the earth. Hallelujah. He says, for you were dead and your life is hid in Christ. It's no longer I that live, but Christ lives in me. So when Christ, who is our life, shall appear, then shall also appear with Him in glory. Listen, guys, I want you to get this picture. Hallelujah. Can you look at 1 Corinthians? Dale, can you look at 1 Corinthians 5:22 real quick? So listen. I just want you to get this picture. He shall appear. What appears all the time, come on, is my own image and my own likeness, my failures, all those things. But we need appearing of Jesus. You got it? 1 Thessalonians.
You said Corinthians. I thought you knew the book.
1 Thessalonians. I said Thessalonians, didn't I? Didn't I, guys? This side of the room said that. So. Go. Go.
All right.
5:22.
Okay. 5:22 says, abstain from every form of evil. Now may the God of peace Himself sanctify you completely, and may your whole spirit, soul, and body
so here's the issue. My three. Come on, say three. You live in a body. You have a soul. But your spirit. Come on, amen. So he says this. The problem is your spirit is set free. Come on, amen. Say it's alive. Come on, amen. It's His image and likeness. Amen. The problem is this realm. The soulless realm.
Yes, sir.
The fleshly realm. Come on, amen. And the vehicle that carries it. Hallelujah. So listen. If I begin to get my affections in my soul looking at Him, all of a sudden my body begins to follow where my spirit goes. See, we get our bodies carry us places and do things and say things we shouldn't say. But God says, I want you to be a vehicle of my glory, of my appearance. Hallelujah. I want to appear through you. In Walmart, in your houses. Come on, Amy. I want you there to be an appearance of me, hallelujah, amongst those that you're around. Do you remember the example of the Ark of the Covenant? The Ark? It was the glory of God, the presence of God that was with them. Say it was with them. I'm here to tell you, the Spirit of God is inside you. The glory of God is in your life. And there needs to be an appearing in the soul, in the body of what is in your spirit.
Amen.
He says, preserve unto, say unto, the coming of the Lord. Listen, I know we're going to see a coming of the Lord. But I just do not need to see a coming of the Lord someday. I need the Lord to come in my life tomorrow. I need a coming of the Lord, an appearance of God tomorrow, Friday, Saturday, Sunday, hallelujah. I'm not just waiting. See, the enemy would just want you to just wait for the coming of the Lord. No. I want you to know that Jesus, as soon as he says, I will come again, guess what? He showed up how many times after he rose from the grave? He showed up to the disciples here. He showed up to them to the road of Emmaus. Hallelujah. There was a coming of the Lord. And whenever they seen him, all of a sudden there was a rising up of God within their lives. And they became bold. A man named Paul, they called Saul. Guess what? There was an appearing of Jesus Christ that stood before him. Hallelujah. How many of you guys know that one day, 30 some years ago, there was an appearance of Jesus Christ that came and stood before me and says, here I am. Amen. And I received him. And he hasn't stopped coming. The problem is, if he stops coming to my life, there's not an appearance of Jesus. Come on, help me tonight. Amen? So he says that the coming of the Lord Jesus Christ. So, are you all right for a minute?
Yeah.
All right, we're getting through here. James 1. Now, I said all this to say this so that I could say my next thing. James 1. Hey, do you have the Passion Version? You threw it away?
No. They dropped it off. I pulled it up.
You got it? The Passion? I got it. It's a race. I will win. Got it. Okay, so here it is. So here this. This is James 1:22. And I'm going to read it out of the Passion. It says this. It says, don't just listen to the word of truth. Say, don't just listen. And not respond to it. Hear me. Do not just listen. Do not be a hearer of the word and not a doer of the word.
Don't just hear it
and not resemble it. When the word of God says, be a doer of the word, he says, love your enemies. Love your enemies.
Right.
Love those who despitefully use you. Love those who despitefully use you. Don't just be a hearer, but be a doer. Give, and it shall be given unto you. Don't just be a hearer, but be a doer. We are to make it effective, hallelujah, because it's powerful. See, I want you to know that by the Spirit, we become having a assisted with power to accomplish what he wants us to accomplish through the Spirit. Listen. So he says, here's what it's like. Don't just be a list, but do. He says, for that is the essence of self-deception. So always let the word become like poetry written, fulfilled by your life. If you listen to the word and don't live out the message you hear, you become like a person who looks, listen, who looks into a mirror of the word of God to discover the reflection of his face. Listen. My genesis, my beginning. When you begin to look into the word of God, you begin to see, hallelujah, who you really are. But I'm not just to look at it once. But he says he's like a man that looks into the mirror and then walks away and forgets who he is. He forgets what he looks like. Tell your neighbor, you gotta keep looking at Jesus. Come on, listen to me. You gotta keep looking at Jesus. You gotta keep looking at his image and his likeness. Hallelujah. Because if I don't look into the word of God of who I am in him, I walk away and I forget who I am. Unfortunately, hallelujah. That's why sometimes the church don't represent him right, because they're not looking into the word of God and seeing him. They walk away and they forget what Jesus looks like and they act out what is in the flesh. But here's what I'm supposed to do. Every time I come over, it quits. Ready? He says, but you perceive how God sees you in the mirror of the word. But But then you go out and forget your divine origin. But those who set their gaze deeply into the perfecting law of liberty, say love, are fascinated by the respond to the truth they hear and are strengthened by it. They experience God's blessing in all that they do. They begin to see Him. Keep looking. Keep looking into His image and His likeness. I'm here to tell you it's not a waste of time. All of a sudden what happens is it's God's working in you, reflecting His image in you. And all of a sudden you ain't going to act like the devil no more. You're going to start acting like Jesus. That's why they called Him Christians. Because they were acting like Christ. They were acting like Christ. They were imitators of Christ. That's why Jesus says, the things that I did, you will do greater things. All right, listen. You okay?
Yes, sir.
All right. So ask your neighbor, you're holy.
Holy.
I just went through that whole thing. You got to tell someone really loud, you're holy. Come on, amen? All right, so let's get into this thing. I want to give you an example. I try to give you these different pictures. I want you to know that, listen, when we look at the Word of God, it's all about Jesus. Now, the Word of God became flesh and dwelt among us. We see that Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, Acts. We see Jesus, amen, the image in the flesh. But I'm here to tell you, He's in Genesis. He's in Leviticus. He's in Numbers. He's in Deuteronomy. He's in the whole book. The Bible says He comes in the whole volume of the book. Say the whole book. And the more I begin to get His reflection of the whole book, I begin to see every different place, area, and all these things that affect my life. This is how it makes you holy. See, God began to give us a picture, hallelujah, through generations. He began to give them a picture, hallelujah, of what was to come. God does things in the natural, hallelujah, and then He reveals it in the spiritual. See, God begins to reveal mysteries, not that they won't be found, but they hide them, not so they won't be found, hide them so they won't be found, but so that they would be found. But it doesn't come if you're not looking for Jesus. If you're not looking at Him, Jesus, come on. If you're looking at yourself, your old nature, all this and that, it's not going to make sense. But the more we look at Him, the more I see Jesus in everything. Say it's in everything. It's like ragu. Come on. All right. It's in there. Is that what it says? It's in there. So listen. So this is how He became holy. This is what He's done. Now we could say that this is the purification of a leper. Now, I want you to get this, and I want you to understand something. When you see lepers in the Bible, that speaks of sin.
Come on.
Come on, amen? It speaks of sin. When I was in India, there's literally leper colonies still. I think there was 200,000 cases of some form of leprosy last in 2017, whatever. That's a lot. It's a third world country, you know what I mean? But it's a picture of something that's contagious, something that starts really small, say small. Something that's not very big, but can begin to multiply if it's not attended to. So here's leprosy, they're facing this thing, and God says, listen, God always has the answer. So here is leprosy, and I want you to understand something, He's got the answer for it. So He tells them, this is what I want you to do when there's leprosy in the camp. You alright? So I wrote this down, it begins with little specks on your eyelids. Where? Do you know what starts? It begins with what you see, your eye gate. Little. And it says, and its surface then went into, it goes into the bones. It begins to go deep into the bones. So I want you to get this picture of this. Amen. And sometimes it's heredity, that sometimes people can have it in them and it could be 10 years without any surfacing. And it could be hereditary, where that you've carried it on, say generational. I'm here to tell you something tonight. Listen, listen, it could be something that has been passed on to you. I want you to know, listen, how many guys know that, listen, I want you to hear this. There's some things that have been passed on from generation to generation. There's been people that have been alcoholics and it has went from one generation to the next. Whatever that might be, maybe there's some oppression, maybe there's depression and begins to carry through. I'm here to tell you that Jesus broke the curse, hallelujah, that was upon man. He broke it. Say he broke it. And this is how he broke it. Hallelujah. So I want you to see this. So in John 14 or Luke or Leviticus 14, and it says, and the Lord spoke to Moses saying, this shall be the law of the leper in the day of cleansing. He shall be brought unto the priest. He says, and the priest shall go forth out of the camp, and the priest shall look and behold, if the plague of leprosy be healed in the leper, then shall the priest command to take for him that is to be cleansed two birds, say two birds, alive and clean, cedar wood, scarlet, hyssop, and the priest shall command the one of the birds to be killed in an earthen vessel over running water. As the living bird, he shall take it and the cedar wood and the scarlet and hyssop and dip it, he says, and then the living bird in the blood of the bird that was killed over running water. Okay. I want you to get the picture. Can you guys say this? It's Jesus. When you begin to get an apocalypse of the understanding, and you got to remember, come on, guys, go back to the cross. How did Jesus deal with? I got to bring it through the cross. Come on. Listen, how did he deal with sin? He did it through the cross. Say through the cross. Come on, I want you to get this picture. Hallelujah. He himself dealt with sin. Hallelujah. He took care of that. Let's look up. Somebody look up John 1:29. Jesus took away the sin of the world. Tell someone he took it away. He took it away. So how did he do that? I want you to see the picture here. There's two birds. Behold, the Lamb of God taketh away the sin. Say, take it away. This is how Jesus dealt with it. Come on, amen. I want you to understand something. He was the one bird. The other bird is you. He's one bird. You got to take the bird and it's got to be alive. It's a sparrow. That means that sparrow was able to fly. He's able to get away. See, Jesus, hallelujah, that listen, he gave his life. No one took his life. He was able to fly away, but he didn't. So this is a symbolic of the bird, hallelujah, this bird being Jesus Christ, that he was this bird, and you take the bird and you put it in a bowl. Say earthen vessel. Jesus Christ, he was the earthen vessel, hallelujah. He was. He took on the form of man, our image, hallelujah, became like man, took on the earthen vessel, hallelujah. He became an earthen vessel, hallelujah. And it says that the water was poured continuously over him. Listen, I want to give you these scriptures for you. Look up John. John 1:14. There. And the Word was made flesh and dwelt among us. And we beheld the glory as the only begotten Son, full of grace and truth. You all right? John 3. I want to give you these scriptures. Come on, when I bring this together, you're going to really say, all right, we got it. John says, the Father loved the Son and hath given all things, say all things, into his hands. All things. Hallelujah. And he says, and he that believeth on him shall have everlasting life. He that believeth not on the Son shall not see life, but wrath of God abideth. Listen. So Jesus was in the constant influence of the Spirit of God was flowing. Heaven was flowing. The Spirit of God was flowing through Jesus. There was a constant, hallelujah, communication with the Father and the Son. It's like that water that was continually, say continually, being poured out, hallelujah. Out of that water speaks of heaven poured out onto the bird. He was that living vessel, hallelujah. He was that living vessel. And you can look up John 5:17. I'm going to give you these real quick. But Jesus, my Father, worketh, and I work. Come on, say flowing. We got to understand this. We got to see this. There's a flowing that goes forth. Hallelujah. And 5:30, it says, but I received the testimony. That's not it. I'm sorry. So Jesus, like the sacrificial bird, was alive and clean. He said, I want you to take a clean bird. He was pure. He was without blemish, without spot. Hallelujah. He says, I want the priest to inspect it and see if it was pure, without blemish, that you can use it. I want you to know Jesus was inspected by the Father. When was he inspected? This is my beloved Son, who I am well pleased with. This is my Son. Come on, amen. So he says, you all right? So, clean means pure, absence of impurity. Amen? No imperfection. He was sinless. Hebrews 4:15-9-26. And it says, I want you to dip the living bird into the blood of the bird that was killed. So you have bird that was killed with running water, he says, that's poured into the bowl. He says, and I want you to take the bird that's alive, say you, and I want you to dip it into the blood. I want you to dip it into the blood. Hallelujah. While the water was poured over, I want you to dip it. Say dip it. Come on. We were baptized into Christ. Hallelujah. Listen, I want you to see that there was a bird that was sacrificed on our behalf. That was Jesus Christ. You are the bird that's living, that because of that bird, you were dipped into that blood. Hallelujah. This is all significant. He's saying, listen, this is the way that he dealt with sin. This is the way he took sin out of the way. This is how he crippled the enemy. Hallelujah. And it begins to be a picture, because when they did this, leprosy left these people. It was a picture of what was to come. Come on, amen. So he says, I want you to dip the living, to be immersed and to be plunged. We are plunged into Christ. He says, and I want, remember this, and this is verse 14:6. I'm sorry. I want to give you, okay? And the priest shall command one of the birds to be killed in the earthen vessel over running water. We get that. And as for the living bird, he shall take it and the cedar wood and the scarlet and hyssop and dip it them into the living bird's blood of the bird that was killed over running water. So here we go. Listen, I got a picture of this, guys. Say hyssop and cedar and scarlet. Here's these two sticks. One of them is cedar, and one of them is hyssop. Cedar was the largest of trees. Hyssop was the smallest. And he says, I want you to wrap it with scarlet. Speaks to the blood. You know how he dealt with every one of your sins? From the biggest to the smallest? This was that example of this right here. Come on, I want you to say detail. This is a picture of this, hallelujah, that he was taking the biggest thing and he dealt with it. He was taking the smallest thing and he was dealing with it. He says, and I want you to take the sins, take these things. He says, and I want you to dip it in that blood. And when you dip it in the blood, he says, I want you to sprinkle the blood upon that seven times. Say seven. That speaks of Jesus. That speaks of perfection. He says, I want them to be covered with the blood. Sprinkle the blood upon them. Hallelujah. They've been sprinkled with sin. I want you to begin to sprinkle them with holiness. Hallelujah. Perfection. That they come into perfection from what I did for them. That's how we become holy. Not out of my works, but it's all about Jesus. See, I want you to get this. This is the problem. They kept making it about them, about their works. And God kept giving them example. It's not about you. It's about these. So they took these things and began to do these things and think, no, it was a picture of what was to come. Listen, he said, I want you to, at Philippians, the blood is sufficient for every man's needs. Philippians 4:19. Look that up. How many of you guys remember the story about Rahab? Rahab in the Bible. Do you remember Jericho? Remember Jericho? You remember the spies were in her house. She was a harlot. Say sinner. And he said, because of what you did, he says, I want you to take the scarlet thread and throw it out the window. He says, and when we come back and we see it, that blood will protect you from whatever goes on around you. The whole city collapsed. Everything crumbled except for that house. The house that had the red thread coming out of the window. Say amen. Listen, it's about His blood. It covers everything. Amen? It doesn't matter what it's like around you. There's destruction all around you. But I'm here to tell you, that blood covers everything. Hallelujah. It protects. It covers you. Hallelujah. It isolates you from what's in the world. It protects you. Hallelujah. It's the blood of Jesus Christ. When the destroyer came in to Egypt, hallelujah. Whenever they seen the blood on the door, hallelujah. I'm here to tell you, listen, when you receive Christ in your life, when you take hold of what He did by faith, you apply that blood that was shed on the cross, you apply it on the doorpost of your heart, hallelujah. I'm here to tell you, as you begin to keep applying it, keep looking at the cross, He says, don't forget, do this in remembrance of me, taking communion, keep eating from Him. We're not just to do it once a month, but I'm here to tell you, we are to get that, read the Word of God, commune with Him, take hold of Him. I need to eat Jesus. Hallelujah. I need to take hold of that blood because it's what gives me blood life. Amen. It's what gives me life. The life is in the blood. It's in the blood. Say it's in the blood. By the blood. There's another one too. Power, power. You ever heard that song? Power, power, wonder-working blood. In the blood of the Lamb, there is power, power, wonder-working blood. Power in the precious blood of the Lamb. There was a man. Can't think offhand right now, but he went to a foreign country. God told him to go there. He says, and I want you to go there. He says, and there has been an authority over the city. He says, and I want you to go in there and I want you to cast it out. Cast it out? I have no clue. And he realized it wasn't what he did. It was the blood that was upon him. Come on, amen. And he was able to speak to whatever was trying to have authority and bring it down. Say, bring it down. Because of the life that was in him. Say, life. The life. So he went in and he says, and when he walked into the city, he's seen this image, hallelujah, in the spirit, he's seen it was a huge, it was sitting upon the wall of the city. And he was looking out, and he says, and it was control. But listen, I'm here to tell you, when he went into the prisons, he began to cast out these demons. He began to stop because he was wore out. He began to see by the blood of the Lamb. And I'm going to tell you something. Those demons got so angry and so mad, they fled from the city. And the mayor of the town came to him and he says, listen, this is in Philippines. He came to him and he says, listen, whatever you want, he says, I'll give it to you. He says, I want the arena in the city that fits 60,000 people. He says, I want it for 1 week every single night. He says, and I want you to introduce me. And I want you to tell everybody to come. He went there, and by the time every single night, that place was filled and people received Christ in their life. The enemy has no power. Come on, amen. No power, amen. In that city, no matter what destruction, the blood of Jesus Christ is upon you. You got the life of Christ, the power of Christ upon your life. We can't look at our problems and our situations. You got to understand the power of the blood that's within your life. The blood is sufficient for every man's needs. Philippians, you got that? It says, but my God, say my God, shall supply all your needs according to his riches in glory by Christ Jesus. Come on. Everything. Say everything. The blood covers everything. Listen. And he says, and sprinkle the blood on the person seven times. Wow. This is a picture. This is a picture, too, of us having this relationship with Christ. Taking hold of the life of Christ. Come on, amen. Taking hold of the life of Christ in my life. As I begin to receive all that he has, it begins to flow out of my life, into my body, into my soul, into the things around me. Hallelujah. So listen, I want you to give this. I'm almost done. Yes, I'm early tonight, ain't I? Okay, I'll go longer. No. So look, John, 1 John 1:7. I want to give you these scriptures just real quick. There's just a couple here. Tell me, go ahead and do it when you got it. Huh? Go, read it.
But if we walk in the light.
Wait, what?
But if we walk in the light.
Okay.
As he is in the light.
Okay.
We have fellowship one with another. And the blood of Jesus Christ, his son, cleanses us from all sin.
If we walk in the light, as he is in the light, we have fellowship one with another. Tell your neighbor, you have fellowship with him. And the blood of Jesus Christ, his son, cleanses us from all sin. Keep looking in the mirror because it's sanctifying you. Hallelujah. It's cleansing you. It's sanctifying you. It's setting you free. It's beginning to wash you, cleanse you of all the filthiness that's in the world. And all of a sudden, as it begins to wash off you by you looking at him, all of a sudden that is no longer that old nature, but all of a sudden you begin to reveal the new man. You reveal Christ that is in you. Amen? So, Romans 3:25 says this, in whom God has set forth to be the propitiation through faith in his blood to declare his righteousness for the remission of sins that are past through the forbearance of God. To declare, I say at this time, his righteousness that we might be just and the justifier of him which believe in Jesus. We're not boasting it. Then it is excluded by the law works, but by faith. Say by faith. It's him that justifies us. It's Jesus that justifies us. So it's, as I look at him, I become justified through the word of God. I begin to realize what he did for me. Just like this, hallelujah. Just like this, you see this expression, this picture of this. All of a sudden, I begin to see, hallelujah, how I'm justified. Amen? So, Romans 8:30. Almost there. Moreover, whom he did predestinate, then he also called. And whom he called, then he justified. And whom he justified, then he glorified. Hallelujah. Listen, he's glorifying us. Hallelujah. He's revealing his image and likeness in us. Okay? So, 2 Corinthians. Just a couple more. You all right? 2 Corinthians 3:18. I hope you're taking notes. But we all with open face. You got that right there? Okay, good. Because I'm going to go back to Leviticus so we understand what I'm talking about. So this is the next part that takes place. You ready? So he says, sprinkle the blood, cleanse from leprosy seven times and shall pronounce, say pronounce, him clean, and shall let the living bird loose in the open field. Say, He's loosed me into the open field. That I am loosed into the open field. Hallelujah. Listen, He says the field speaks of the world. He says, but we all with open face beholding as the glass of the glory of the Lord, we are changed into the same image from glory to glory in His Spirit. So He is released. He said, but now we are face to face that I can worship Him. Believers have set free. We've been set free to worship with an open face, face to face. Come on, amen. That He was released, open, released, set free. Hallelujah. He says, living bird that was to loose into the open field. And he that is cleansed shall wash his clothes and shave his head. Listen. And he says, released into the open field. The word open there means face in Hebrew. It means face. That now, because of that, I can stand face to face. Psalms 127. It says, our soul is escaped as the bird out of the snare of the fowler. The snare is broken and we are escaped. He has broken the snare that the enemy had upon you through sin. Say, it's broken. He has no power. No more. It's been broken. Now, I don't have time, but we could go back and look at that with Cain, where that they began to walk in the wrong image. And he said this, when he began to act the wrong, remember he got upset because his brother brought a sacrifice? His was accepted and his wasn't. Remember? He got upset with his brother. He was mad. Listen, he was comparing what he had to what he had, and it wasn't the same. Why? Because he was upset with his image. The enemy came in at that moment, and he began to snare. And God warned him. He says, listen, I want you to be careful, because the enemy is at your door with a snare. And the next thing he does is the bitterness rose up within him, and he killed his brother. He tried to kill the image of his brother because it was causing him. That image was like Christ. He was upset with it. So he tried to run from it, tried to hide from it. But here's what happened, guys. His blood cried out for vengeance out of the earth. Listen to this. So that curse of that death was following man, crying out for repentance, crying out for justification, crying out for justice. We couldn't answer a call. But Jesus, when he was on the cross, that blood that dripped from him, where did it drip? It dripped into the earth that was crying out for vengeance. That blood satisfied the earth, hallelujah. That vengeance, hallelujah, was stopped at that moment because of the blood of Jesus Christ. So he was crying out generation after generation. He has reversed the curse. He has took it away. Say, he took it away. He took it away. His blood satisfied the earth, hallelujah. He satisfied God with his blood, hallelujah. That judgment was meant to the earth. Listen, I want you to know, when you're in Christ, that judgment, hallelujah, has already been released. God's judgment was on the earth and they had the flood, but those that were in the ark did not experience what the others on the outside did. Judgment comes upon those that aren't in Christ. So, well, I don't know about that. I'm here to tell you this. You got the wrong image you're looking at. Because no longer I that liveth, but Christ lives in me. I am hid in Christ. How do I know that? Because you know why? Because every time the enemy comes in and try to tell you, remind you who you are, who you used to be, I want you to know that, listen, he can't find you when you're hid in Christ. When you start acting like the old man, when you start communicating with the dead man, you know the Bible tells us that we're not supposed to communicate with the dead. So quit talking to the old man. Quit talking to the old nature about who you used to be. Because it's been dealt with at the cross. Come on, amen. It's already been dealt with. So I'm hid in Christ. Amen? All right. So, Matthew 1:14. Can you stand up, please? Would you stand, please? Here's what happened. I want you to see this. Here's a picture of this right here. It's in the New Testament, and it's Jesus acts it out. Come on, amen? I want you to see this. He acts it out. He walks this out right in front of all of his disciples, everybody there. Here's what he does. Somebody comes to him and they're looking for healing. What are they looking for healing from? Leprosy. And it says, listen, and there came, I want you to get the picture. He didn't go to the cross yet, but he did go from the foundation of the earth. It's already been done. Come on, amen. It became revealed to us in the flesh, but he already did it in the spirit. Say it was already done. It was already taken care of. So those that came to him, he says, there came a leper to him, beseeching him and kneeling down to him and saying unto him, if thou wilt cast, can you make me clean? I got the answer for you. Yes, he can. Come on, say yes, he can. Come on, whatever the matter is. Come on, amen. We understand whatever big thing there is, whatever small thing is, it's his blood that takes care of it all. He says, and Jesus moved with compassion. I want you to hear this, that he was moved because he seen the cry of those that were in bondage. Just like Moses, he heard, God heard the cry of his people that were in bondage in Egypt. So what did he do? He sent Moses, hallelujah, a picture of a savior into that place that they could be broken from bondage. So Jesus had compassion because he heard, knew their cry. Amen. And here's what he did. Listen, you ready? He says, and Jesus, moved with compassion, put forth his hand, you play something, Liza, and touched him and said unto him, I will be thou clean. Remember everything that the Old Testament, Jesus says, I fulfilled the law. Every picture, he fulfilled it. So when he did that, it was a picture of what he did with that bird. It was a picture of the blood poured out, influenced by the Father. Hallelujah. All that he had was being poured out. And he says, and as soon as he had spoken, he spoke the words, say immediately. Immediately the leprosy departed from him and he was cleansed. And he straightly charged him, forthwith sent him away. And he said, see thou, say nothing to any man, but go thy way. Thyself to the priest. He says, and offer for the cleansing those things which Moses commanded for the testimony unto them. He says, what did I tell him to do? Go, just like he said, take, because you've been cleansed. And once they were cleansed, they were going to present themselves to the priest. And the priest would look at him and say, you're cleansed. You've been forgiven. It was a picture. He was showing who he was. That he's the one. He says, but I want you to go show yourself to them that they know where it came from. He says, remember the bird, the sticks, the blood. It's me. I'm here. Say, I'm here.
Here.
I'm here. I'm here. And I'm here to cleanse. I'm here to heal. He's in your life right now, tonight, this moment. To present himself to you. To solve whatever it is that's necessity that you need. Whatever that might be. To be released. Any bondage, any hurt, any pain. You might not see it all. Listen, I want you to know that, listen, because of Christ, there's no sin. I'm holy. But you say, well, no. Your spirit is sinless. But your soul, hallelujah, is being totally saved. And he says not to practice sin. Say, don't practice it. What happens is in our soul, we begin to practice sin and we get good at it. But God says, when you sin, confess. Don't practice being a sinner. Because I am in you to empower you to walk out whatever it is. Heavenly Father, I thank you for your word. I thank you for who you are. I thank you for what you have brought to us, Lord, that we can receive by faith, that we can say yes to your word, God. Lord, that we just don't have to be hearers, but now we can be doers of the word of God. Hallelujah. That I can walk by faith, that I can walk, hallelujah, not by sight, but I can walk by faith in the power of you, God. I can walk in your word with confidence, knowing, hallelujah, that you have blessed me, that you have purified me, that you have set me free, that sin does not hold me anymore captive, but I have broken that because of what you did in my life, God. I give you glory. I give you honor. In Jesus' name, amen. Hallelujah. Bless the Lord. Hallelujah. Amen. Tell someone you love.